All right. Dear Father, thank you for allowing us to come together again and be what it is you want us to be in Christ as we come together in fellowship, as we grow together in your word, as we share and pray for each other, as we just enjoy your presence, Father. And that's what we're doing right now. We do. We ask that in the name of Jesus that you come in, Lord, and be our guest. You manage this guest room for us. Lord, you be the one that lights this room and gives us everything we need to give you the glory. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. So whatever it is, Lord, that you want from us, put it on our hearts and our minds. And let us be faithful to that. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. All right. So everybody's muted, but you can unmute when you want. We'll play this like I do on my conference call. Like I know, right now I'm standing in for Michael just because he couldn't be here tonight. Everybody knows. And so generally, I don't have a real strict control on the room. I do allow people to talk when they need to talk and freely and say what they need to say. And we all kind of join in and support each other. So we'll do that here. And I think I got somebody else waiting. Yeah, there we go. And I don't usually have to admit people. So this is kind of another distraction. But anyways, thanks everybody for coming. And this is UBM. And we will continue on as the spirit of UBM. And thank you, Father, for that. So to start this off, we'll say, is there any prayer requests right now that we need to go through? I think Julie mentioned one for Barbara. Is that right? I mean, for Carol.
I do have one from Carol. She sent me an email and she said that, some of you, I think, know, she's in training. So today, apparently David is day two in her training, and she said it didn't go very well. I'm exhausted, so I've gone to bed early, and I'm asking humbly for prayer. She's experiencing fear of losing her job and not making it. It hit her really hard today. So she's asking for prayers to help her overcome this. And she said she did not grasp much today in her training. So she has one more day of training tomorrow. That was her text message. So let's lift up our sister Carol. Heavenly Father, thank you for Carol. And thank you, Lord, that you have shown her such favor there. It's apparent, Lord, that, you know, she thought this a few months ago that she was going to lose her job. She was even told that, you know, she had through like November or something like that. And they were going to, you know, end her job there because her numbers were not meeting what they were expecting. But you turned things around, and it was only because of her prayers and faith and your grace. And Lord, I know the enemy hates us and wants us to see us fail, but your word promises that your power is made perfect in our weakness. She said, Lord, that she didn't grasp very much today because maybe things were just over her head, or maybe she was being attacked by the enemy and lots of things. But we command all of that to stop in the name of Jesus. We cast down the spirits of confusion, fears of losing your job, not doing well, not meeting expectations, not being able to understand. Whatever lies enemy is attacking her with, we command it null and void in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you that you will give Carol great peace, give her the ability to just focus on what she needs to listen to tomorrow when she's in her training, that you will bring back to her remembrance, Lord, the things that she did listen to and hear today. And we just cast down any curses that have been spoken against her, even things that she may have spoken against herself, and any kind of doubt and fear, unbelief, worry, anxiety, and stress over, you know, this training and, you know, part of the training that we go through, Lord, for anything is to learn. And I just pray, Lord, you give her the ability to learn and grasp what it is she needs to know about her job and whatever you're preparing her for. So I thank you, Lord, that you are blessing her there. It was your grace that gave her this job, and your grace will continue to keep her in this job and help her to keep her eyes on you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. I agree with that 100%. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer on that. Carol's such a wonderful daughter. You know that, Father, and she's just a lovely person. So we ask for your grace and favor for her and this, all these things that Julie prayed for. In the name of Jesus, amen. Katie, I have your, just a minute, Marilyn. Katie had her hand up. Go ahead. Or did you want to pray real quick for Carol too? Go ahead. Go ahead, Marilyn, pray.
It's short.
That's fine.
Father, I just thank you for, we're asking and receiving for Carol an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of her understanding and to strengthen her in the inner man. Lord, there's not anything here that is not easily grasped and understood by our Lord Jesus. And I thank you that Carol has the mind of Christ and she has on the helmet of salvation. And Lord, that Jesus is glorified in this trial that Carol's going through. And Father, I pray also, Lord, that you give her good sleep tonight. Just supernaturally, Lord, that there's not any waking up and worry or panic. Any of that, we cast all that darkness out of her and away from her, all weariness and heaviness. And Lord, I'm bold to ask that you would even give her a good dream tonight to encourage her and to remind her that you're there with her. And thank you for the presence of the angels there with her, not only tonight, but they're going to be there tomorrow. Well, they're going to be with her every day, but even remind her that you've given the angels charge over her to keep her in all of her ways and to drive the darkness out of her and away from her, and that there aren't going to be any distractions from the enemy, just all these fiery darts, that they're quenched with the shield of faith. And I thank you, Lord, for the for giving Carol this job, and she's going to do well. I thank you, Lord, for grace. Grace in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Was that you too, Andrew? Did you were going to pray real quick or no? I thought I heard somebody else. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Was that Katie and Dominic? Go ahead.
Hello. Hey. So it's been a while since I've been on, and I apologize for that. But God's really been working a lot, and I just wanted to ask for a prayer. Like, me and Katie, she's my sister in Christ, we are both really feeling Tennessee on our heart right now. I've been talking to Greg from UBM a lot right now. Not you, Greg, but another Greg. And we've been discussing it too. I brought it up to him as well. And he just told me to be sure about it too, obviously. I'm just feeling a visit first and really pray with the body, you know, there. But like, I've been down there before. I'm sure you guys remember me a little bit, but there's another Greg out there. Yeah. So he's a little quieter. He doesn't really, he doesn't appear on the teachings or anything, but anyway. So, you know, Katie's never been, I have, I loved it. It was one of the best experiences, definitely the best fellowship I've ever had. And yes, Greg Miller, you got it. And so we're like really just praying on it. I just want to be sure too, because I don't want to be a burden to the body there too. You know what I mean? So I just really want to be 100% sure. And I definitely don't want to be misled on this. But I do like, me and Katie both, there's been confirmation about it and everything. So I just figured, why not just join the outreach tonight and ask for prayer? So. Yeah, that's all.
Okay, when did you plan on going down there, maybe?
No idea. We're totally leaving it to the Lord on that. I told Greg, because he's going to be the one discussing it with David and Michael, I presume. I told him to whenever's the most convenient for them is when we want to go. We don't want to go like at any time that it's not convenient for them. You know what I mean? Again, because like I definitely don't want to be a burden there or have it be an inconvenience that we're there. You know what I mean? So that we're not entirely sure. Not to move, Julie, but they're also like I have been feeling that I always felt like I belonged in Tennessee because I've been a part of so many fellowships, but I don't agree with all of them. And I felt myself compromising my beliefs to just experience fellowship. And but then the Lord the other day really laid it on my heart that a little leaven really leavens that whole lump, you know, and I really believe that my place is around there. So
yeah, for me personally, like I was praying on direction from the Lord, and I just feel like me personally, at some point I am moving down to Tennessee, which was a bit like shocking, but God's just been confirming it in so many different ways. And I had this vision of me like taking care of kids down there. And I was like, that's actually like such, that's amazing. And I pray that it's accurate because I went to BOCES for early childhood and I love taking care of kids. Like that's my dream. So if I could do that and just serve God and be around godly people, then literally a dream come true. So yeah.
Yeah. And just to clarify, BOCES is like a trade school. I don't know if you guys have BOCES around there, but it's like a trade school that works with high school students so they can like have a further education and what they want to do. And it's funny, you didn't even really want to go into it, right? But
I did, but then I dropped it my senior year.
Yeah, okay, that's right. So she did. I mean, I really do, like when she told me that she had that vision, like I was reminded of the fact that she went to that school for it. Like I really do believe that the Lord is working something here. And we've gotten a lot of confirmation on it and stuff like that. So but I just want to be 100% sure, because again, I definitely don't want to burden the people there. You know what I mean? But I definitely think a visit is for sure going to happen. But yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we just want, prayer for clarity on it. That's all.
All right, Lord, thank you for putting it on their hearts, Katie and Dominic, to come down to Tennessee and visit with UBM. And Lord, like they said, they want to do it at a time that's not inconvenient for either Dave or Michael. So we'll leave that up to you. If you can want to set the schedule, that'd be fine. Otherwise, we'll leave it to David and Michael and let them know. And we'll make sure this message gets forwarded, because tonight Michael's not here tonight. But I'm sure, Dominic, you can know how to get a hold of Michael. So, Father, thank you so much for listening to our prayer on this. And making their house so welcoming to everyone the way you do, and putting it on their hearts to love everyone. Thank you, Father, for being so good to them and making them great stewards of your word and great ministers and helping us all grow and mature and having that open house for those who come in. They all welcome everyone to come in, and they love to disciple everyone. So thank you, Father, for bringing both those people, Michael and David, in our lives to do this wonderful work. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And if I kept you waiting, I'm sorry. I'm just not used to admitting people. I feel like, oh, I got some people I got to let in. I don't do that on my conference call. I have it kind of opened up. People can come right in. So if I kept you waiting, my apologies. It was a trial of, it was your trial. It was a patient trial, that's all. So, do we have any more prayers out there that we want to pray about? I'll say a prayer real quick. Father, you know, these times we're in, and even where we work and people we engage with, there's testing going on. So, Lord, I ask that you strengthen us, and if we don't do so well, to continue to come along our side and help us to overcome whatever trial it is you have put in front of our face and in our lives, because we know these are the times you're going to grow up your body in Christ. And so we're asking you for your favor. We're trying to enter into your rest. We're going to try to walk as Jesus walked during this time. So, Lord, we ask for nothing but you to come through on this for us, to make us like Jesus, to make us understand what it is you want us to be in life. We don't want the thorns of this life to hold back our fruitfulness. We want to become fruitful in Christ. So thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer on this and guiding us, directing all our ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. All righty. So I didn't have an agenda. And we're being recorded. Go ahead, Greg.
I'll yield to Nick first, if you like.
Okay, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, like 100 times better than I did before after this accident that I had. And I'm so grateful for that and stuff.
All right, Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing Nick right through all this process of healing, allowing him to go back to work and feel like he's part of society again and not being held back in at the house. We know how that can be sometimes. And allowing him to enjoy his work and have his mom help him out as he gets back and forth. Thank you, Lord, for doing all these things for Nick's life and making him grow more in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go ahead, Greg.
Look, I'm going to raise a young man called Rashid. Look, where I work, they put on a lot of new people, particularly casuals for the Christmas period. Anyway, I've kind of made a point of saying hello to a few of them because it's really not a good place to be a new person. You're kind of like you're a shag on a rock for a while till you kind of get to know people. But anyway, this particular guy, I got chatting with him the other day, and as you can probably tell from his name, he's a Muslim. He mentioned that. But yes, he's very chatty, and we were working together, and he got to asking me about the jab, which I don't acknowledge that I have or haven't had one in the workplace. But anyway, that's aside, but we got talking about a whole heap of things. And a whole heap of things. And it even got round to talk about deliverance. And he got quite, enthusiastic. And anyway, he's talking to me about, setting his time to talk. Now, I think in his enthusiasm, he's thinking he can talk to me about, Islam and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, he hasn't got a chance. But I just wanted to pray for him. I can argue Christianity versus Islam if I want, but that's not going to achieve anything other than a debate. But if the Lord opens his heart and mind, that's a different kettle of fish. So I just wanted to pray for him and, bring it up to the group to pray for him and put it all in the Lord's hands. If that's okay, and if it isn't, then I'm going to have a chat to the Lord about that. All right. Lord, I just want to thank you for the position you have put me in, and I want to ask that I appreciate the benefits I'm getting, but the kingdom not about me, it's about you. So for this particular young man, Lord, such situation has allowed me to be frank with him about, my belief and my relationship with you. So, Lord, I want to pray for protection from whatever it is those guys do as far as prayers and stuff go. But two, Lord, for his heart and mind, there is absolutely no point me convincing anyone about you. But Lord, like Saul on his way to Damascus, when you show up, people have to do something with you. So I want to just ask that you would open his heart, his mind, his intellect, and even his ears to what you have to say and what you are, because I know it's not a simple or easy thing for people to, I'm talking in human terms here, Lord, you take care of that. But I just want to call his name before your throne and just point and say that one. Amen.
What was his name again, Greg?
Rashid. I'll type it in. Hang on.
Rashid. Okay. Is he from Australia or is he from?
Well, he is now. Originally, his family's from Somalia, and his father was in the oil industry as an accountant. So he's lived in Qatar, he's lived in Malaysia, he's lived in, you know, Melbourne, Australia, and now he's living here in Perth.
Okay.
It was a long time ago that he came to Australia.
Yeah, well, Lord, we do pray for Rashid. We know this can be an interesting thing, talking to Muslims about Christianity, and they're usually very, if they're very devout to the Muslim religion, they're pretty on fire for Muhammad and their religion. So Lord, you know how to go through this landmine and how to speak to his heart. We pretty much are at your liberty for this. It's your spirit that can turn hearts. So we give them to you, Lord. We ask that you allow truth to come in, the light to come in, your word to come in. Jesus, we ask that you expose yourself and allow him to understand that you are the true Messiah and there is no God but you. There is not God, and there is not Allah. There is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer on this. And we look forward to hearing the good report that his heart has been opened by you, by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Amen. Go ahead, Nick.
I was just thinking maybe we should pray for Michael and his family.
We can do that. I know when he mentioned that, I didn't have much I could say at the time. I felt sorry for him. Yeah, Lord, we give, lift up Michael right now and his family, as they go through this process of, the death of their Michael's nephew. Lord, we know this is, not always a good time, especially when somebody's young like that dies. And we've lifted him up in prayer. And, Michael did say he was a Christian. That's always the best thing. Lord, we know he's with you and your timing and how things are at work is your ways, not ours. And we have no qualm with that. Thank you, Father, for doing marvelous works with Michael's family, bringing them comfort in this time, allowing Michael to intercede for those who need to hear from the Lord in prayer. And also we have lifted up Michael. And we intercede Michael in this time also to give him strength and renew his heart and his mind. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this from us. And if anybody else wants to pray, go right ahead. Okay.
I'll jump in if that's
go ahead,
okay.
Greg.
Lord, my prayers, I mean, my words here are, Lord, are for those that remain behind. Because as you know, Lord, in the days of your flesh, it's an adjustment for us when one passes. So for Michael's granddaughter, forgive me, I forget her name. And those close to it, and Michael himself, obviously our hearts go out to him, that you would bear with them through this time, that you would appoint a time for them to grieve, and you would appoint a time for that to cease too, that the other parts of life could get on. And I'll leave the filling of voids or anything like that for you to sort out, Lord. I mean, you are always enough. Amen. And yes, Tiffany, thank you very much, Julie. But anyway, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
I kind of wanted to pray for Rashid. Father, thank you, Lord, for Rashid. Thank you for his life. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him into Gray's life. And whatever plans you have there, Lord, I ask that you would lead our brother Greg with all wisdom and grace and humility and the love of Christ. And Lord, you have people that are your children from every tribe, nation, tongue, and you know who they all are. You know who your elect are. And we pray, Father, that you would soften Rashid's heart to be discerning. Lord, you know his heart. You know what faith he has. If his faith is in God, what God that is. You know how much he reads the Quran. You know how much he knows about the, you know, the prophet Jesus and the things that they understand and what's written there, Father. But Lord, I from my own experience and just and with other religions and even dealing with people who have that religious background, a lot of them, God, they are God-fearing people, and they love life, and they just have a false image of you, and they've just been misled and misguided, like so many religions are. So, Father, I just pray that you would give grace to reveal your son through Greg, and that he would be able to minister where he is needed, just to speak about you, to let people know who the real Jesus is and who the real God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. And I bind and cast down the spirits of contention and strife and religious pride and anything that may want to exalt itself there and try to prove something. Lord, you just make yourself known. Reveal yourself, Lord, as you do to so many people of the Muslim faith. Lord, you appear to them in dreams and in visions and in miraculous ways that they know they got a visitation from the real Jesus, and you change lives. So we're praying that for Rashid, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We also pray protection on Greg right now, too, so that there's no witchcraft prayers come against him, trying to put confusion in his mind or anything else that maybe going through Rashid that he's not aware of, that that's what they're doing. But we still put that ring of protection around Greg, that no weapon formed against him will prosper. Thank you, Father. Amen. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, now I was just going to, I wanted to tack on as far as situation Greg's going in. My boss happens to be Muslim. His name's Muhammad, and there's two of them there that are both. They both come from the oil industry, and now they work here. So I know I've.
No, I think we can't hear you. Father, in the name of Jesus, let that mic come through.
Dave, I think his microphone turned off. This happened the other night when he holds up the thing and he's fixing it, I think.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, when you're ready, you can share when you're ready. That'll work. Oh, got another net here. So do we got anybody else here we need to pray for or pray things for? Okay.
I'll just add a bit of background if that helps for sure. This guy Rashid. He I think he's really serious because I was, you know, as we drive out of our workplace, we drive onto the, you know, road that takes us wherever we need to go. And because I generally finish it just before dawn at the moment. And look, there was, you know, just as we pulled out, there was a car pulled over on the side of the road. And there was a guy down on his, you know, knees and on his mat, I presume facing in the appropriate direction. So he's pretty serious. And we got to speaking about deliverance. And he said, we do exorcism and stuff. This is what happens. And he said to me the other day, I'm going to get you a book. Oh, God. Oh, I don't think so. Because we got to talking. He mentioned it. And I said, basically, my question with him was, because he said that, oh, yeah, we do it. And then the people start, I don't know, writhing and wriggling and whatever the case may be. And my question was to him, gee, how does one, you know, how do you guys keep them out? Because I'll put on a show, obviously. I think he's taken that as me asking a question like, how do we keep them out? I'm not the least bit concerned about that. I mean, I kind of see them as a bit of a training exercise. That's all they are. But anyway. That's that. But anyway, how are things going over there, Isaac? How's the sound going?
Can you hear me now? You got me? Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
Good. And I had to rebuke it a few times. Anyways, I was just going to say real quick about what Greg was saying. My boss is Muslim, and his co-worker, they used to work together in the oil industry. They're both Muslim. So I've always let my witness be known. I got like 3 monitors in my little cubicle. And you know, I don't spend much time in the office, but I have been here recently. And one of them always got a picture of Jesus on it. Well, they all do, but I have to work on 2 of them at least. And so I always felt like here, especially as of late, I kind of felt like I was doing a lot and getting persecuted. And I've been nothing but respectful for the going on 2 years I've been here. Let me just wrap this up. I think there's a more important prayer that needs to be prayed. But anyways, long story short, I just want to say this real quick. Thank you, Father. I thank you for the prayers, and I thank you for what Greg brought up, and I thank you, Father, for Julie's prayer. And, Lord, I believe that same thing for my situation. And, Lord, that I could be a witness and just trust you that however you handle it, it's in your hands, Father. And they're both really, you know, nice people. And, Lord, I ask you, Father, just to bless them. Let me be a blessing to them and a good worker. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, that can be pretty hard to deal with, I'm sure, especially if you're, well, we all have to deal with different types of, you know, people we work with that even our own people that we call brothers can be sometimes hard to deal with, you know, at work because they're not spirit-filled, but they're Christian. So they don't always agree with us, or they don't always side, or they don't always have the same direction in life. I could say that sometimes that sits there. So, and I know the Lord puts them in our path. So I know I deal with some difficult stuff myself too. So sometimes not as good as others, but I get through it. All right. Do we have any Bible passages or anything anybody wants to talk about? And Joe, do you have anything?
We have, Dave, we have a prayer request in the chat. I don't know if you saw that. I'll start if you want.
Yes, we can pray for that. Let's do that.
Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Tiana. We thank you, Lord, for the birth of David, and everything went so smoothly. And we thank you, Lord, for a very quick and complete healing for Tiana, for her womb, for her uterus, in the name of Jesus. We command all heavy bleeding to cease, and any discharge that's not normal, we command that to cease in the name of Jesus. We command healing and peace and the joy of the Lord just to fill Tiana right now in the name of Jesus. We come against all witchcraft, all interference, and all fear, worry, and anxiety to go from Tiana, go from that house in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that this is a trial, and we just pray, Father, right now, we lift them up to you, God, that you would fill them with boldness of faith, the full assurance of your word and your promises, that all things whatsoever we ask for in prayer, believing, we shall receive it. And we know healing is your will, Lord, because you healed everyone who came to you in faith. And I pray, Lord, that you just pour out your spirit upon them, give them just the ability to rest in you, because it's already done. So we cast down every work and assignment against Tiana and her body and her life and the healing of her body. We command all that to cease in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I pray with that too, Father. Thank you for blessing Tiana David with that baby, David. Lord, we pray for that complete healing. The rest of the process to continue on its course, all this bleeding to go away in the name of Jesus, have it all dry up. Thank you, Father. Just as Jesus touched the woman with blood for 12 years, we're asking you to touch Tiana right now, drive this bleeding. Thank you, Father. Send the angels now in the name of Jesus. You dry up now in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it in the name of Jesus Christ. We command that bleeding to stop in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And anything else that needs to work its way out now and be all done and over with. Thank you, Father. Amen. Go ahead, Isaac. Oh, I'm sorry. I still had your hand up. All right. See if I'm getting anything. All right, good. Thank you, Father. So one of the passages I got today, which was really, it reminds you again of who you are in Christ, but it says, but him that works not, but believes in him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. His faith is reckoned for righteousness. There is nothing we can do in this body, in our lives, without faith in Christ and what he can do for us and what he's doing through us. And it's not by our works, it's by his. It's finished work. And I think many times we kind of get drawn away from that and we forget it's him, it's not us, you know. We forget to rely upon Jesus, to rely upon the Lord. We go to him for our prayer, but then we decide to pick it back up again and we've got to go to do our own thing. It has to be a tendency of our lives. Or maybe we think about something and we get kind of drawn close to the Lord for a short time, but then the world draws us away again, the thorns of the world. So I think tonight I'm just ask the Lord that, you know, to reveal in us that the things that are holding us back, these thorns of life, and help us to overcome these thorns that are just constantly trying to take away our fruit. So Lord, we're asking you to do this work. And I mean, it's a crucifying time, but at the same time, don't let it, Lord, tear us down. Let's be unfruitful. We want to have fruit in our lives, these thorns, these things that make us get out of the rest. So we want to be justified by our faith in things that you do for us, not things that we can do. Thank you, Father. Amen. not used to all these messages. Does anybody have anything they want to discuss tonight? Any topic in mind? Greg, with great power comes great responsibility. Go ahead, Anna.
I just have a couple of little praise reports I could give. The other morning, I woke up and I was laying in bed and I thought, oh no. It froze last night and I left my pineapple plants outside and they're not supposed to get, I think, below like 40 degrees. And I was like, Lord, I just trust you to keep them. It's too late now. Thank you that none of my pineapple plants froze. And I went out there and they were all fine. And my aloe vera plants were fine. They're fine. There was frost on everything else but them. Wow. And so I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, because you can't just go buy pineapple plants. You know, you have to plant them. And it takes a while, and they grow super slow. So God kept them, and I was so excited about it. Oh, and then the other thing the Lord did for me was tonight, I left my guitar in the living room and my pick on the coffee table because my brother called me. So when I came back, my pick was gone. And I was like, Obi, Elisha, do you guys know what happened to this pick? And Obi said, I might have played with it, but I don't know. And I asked Elijah and he didn't know. And it's like, it's the only one I've got that's a thin pick. And it's my favorite one. All my other ones are thick, but it's kind of clear. And I was like, man. And we looked all over and we couldn't find it. And I was like, Lord, like, it's going to be too hard to find this like clear pick. And it's just as soon as I prayed, I said, Lord, will you show me where this pick is? And Elijah ran over and said, pick, 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 and pointed into the guitar and he had put it in the hole. And so I was able to get it out on like 2 times shaking it. And I hate having to do that because sometimes I can be like 10 minutes trying to get my pick out of that hole because there's all the little bars inside the guitar and I'm not very good at it. And so God just, because I had asked Elisha, you know, do you know where it is, the pick? And he didn't say anything, but after I prayed, he ran over, it's in there. So praise God. I was just really excited. So thank you, Lord.
How old is he?
It's the little things. he'll be 2 in February. So he's like 3 months younger than 2.
Wow. That's kind of funny. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I've done that before. I knew I'm not going to find it. So I pray, Lord, show me where this is at. You know, shortly, within 30 seconds to a minute, there it is. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, the pressure's gone, you know. Go ahead, Katie and Dominic.
So it's actually really cool that you said that because I actually had a very similar story just a little bit ago. I wanted to get some candy for Katie and her parents. And I was like, I was at our Dollar General. And they didn't have the 2 things that I was looking for. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, really? It's Dollar General. You should have that. So I was getting a little frustrated. But then I said, you know, Lord, if you want me to get them something, then I just pray that you show it to me. And, like, as I was saying that, my eyes looked at the candy that I was supposed to get them. And I was like, wow. I know it's something simple, but I was like, that is so awesome. And, like, God's also just been moving in general a lot. Like, I've been really feeling the Holy Spirit more. And, you know, things are just, I don't know, going a lot better. I was like backslidden pretty bad for a while, but I'm an overcomer now, so not dealing with that. So yeah, like I just want to praise God for that. You know, he's been really helping me out with a lot of issues that I've been having. And it's like, he's making it so much easier now, you know, because like I was really in this deep depression for a while and all that. It kind of came about like a little while after I came back from Tennessee, but you know, the Lord really was just Like, he just moved. I was talking to the other Greg, and he was like, you know, he's being firm but caring. And at first, I didn't really feel it. Like, I was like, oh, that wasn't ear tickling, you know. And then but it really, like, it planted that seed to want to come back. And I just put my foot down finally, and I said, you know what, I'm not letting this get me. I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to allow I'm not going to allow Satan to rule over me like that. So, like, God's really been moving in that. So, like, just wanted to praise God for that.
Amen. Yeah, I think that's one of the things all of us have to be mindful of. We're familiar with that voice that comes in our mind, and we start thinking it's us, and we allow those voices to start directing us. And realize, oh my gosh. Then you finally get a grip of it and say, I don't have to receive this in the name of Jesus. And you start casting it down and you start feeling better. But it's a part of the training process too that the Lord allows us to go through so that we know what we're fighting and how we fight it. So you're not the only one that's had to cast down depression or discouragement. We've all gone through that. Or condemnation, we've all gone through that. But until we start learning how to fight that battle, and we know that it's the Lord that's going to fight it, but we have to lay down that responsibility that it's us, and realizing that this, he puts this in our lives like this because he wants us to be the overcomer. He wants overcomers, and he wants us to know that we have to rely upon him. So that's something we all learn. It's a learning process. So it's good for you. Thank you, Father Dominic. And it's good to be hear those stories because it reminds us too. Oh yeah, we can easily get tripped up too in those things. We all can. Thank you. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, Dave. Any chance you could I put in the chat. Sorry to call you out on the spot. Any chance you could let Justin Lacey in? I'd appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
Like I said, if you just got in late and it's for me, I'm sorry. I'm not used to letting people into the room. It's just automatic where my room's at. So I don't look for that. Thank you. All right. So do we start reading scriptures? That would be good.
There's another one in the chat there, Dave.
Okay.
From Auntie Tracy.
Catherine, who is normally in here, is headed to a friend's to pray deliverance. Please pray for her. So Tracy, is this she's going there to give deliverance or she's going to get deliverance?
And should we pray for the deliverer or the deliverer?
Yeah. Both.
We seem to have an accord there.
All right. Does everybody know who Catherine is? Anybody?
I do. Yeah. I do. Okay. She is in here, but she is I don't think she's a very loud person anyway, but no, I know her from a Bible study group that Tracy and I were in the past. But anyway, look, I'll pick it up if you want.
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, Lord, it's always a good thing to hear of believers going to conduct deliverance. And this is an authority you gave us to trample on all the works of the enemy. Lord, also I want to just, I guess, before your throne, applaud the courage of Catherine to be going and doing that. Lord, be her company and provide her, I guess, with any other assistance that she needs. For the person in need, Lord, set their heart on you. Matter of fact, set all their hearts on you. They would, I don't know, Lord, I've known so many times that people just want the benefits of you but not the relationship with you. And that's a fault of us humans. But, Lord, set this person's heart on you. And, Lord, we join with them in the deliverance part of itself, that the enemy would be bound, would be gagged, would be confused, would turn upon itself and rush like, you know, I don't know whatever rushing is, but to get out and get away from what is coming at it. Amen. Which is Christian for over.
Well, Lord, you know what Catherine's needs are and whoever she's going to see. Lord, we ask that their time spent together for this deliverance be given fruit, that whatever it is they need to have accomplished, that they're given the faith for this deliverance. And at the same time, like Greg said, they can come closer to you, that any hindrances that are there are gone in the name of Jesus. So we command them now to be gone in the name of Jesus. We command any hindering spirits to cease. We command them to go now. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your light come into their lives and replace whatever is gone, so that this enemy has no more room in their life. It's been given the vacated order to leave, and it can't come back. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen. Go ahead, Dominic.
So, actually, Katie's got a request. If you want, I can help explain it. But
yeah, so there's a brother named Sebastian, and we've been praying for him and talking with him, and he's just like, how would you even describe it? Like,
so basically, I don't even want to say it's like a spirit of religion, but he's so scared that he's going to be deceived, and like we tried to show him some articles from UVM and a video from UVM, like the one that was recently posted about being sent forth on the YouTube channel. It was about basically waiting to be led by the Holy Spirit, and he did not like that. He was basically implying that we were deceived. He didn't straight up say that. The Lord has given us peace. The Lord's given her peace about Sebastian. I think there's just a spirit hindering him from accepting truth. Like, I've already prayed against it, but I thought, you know, having the whole body pray against it would be really nice. I just don't think he fully understands what David's trying to say. I think he's just looking at such a small part of it and thinking that David is just trying to cherry pick verses and stuff like that. And we all know he's not doing that. I don't think David knows all things, but I do believe that he's got a really good, strong basis in this. You know what I mean? And every single time I've ever had a contention with what David said, I realized it was a spirit or a flesh that was affecting that. And I tried to explain that to him, but he just doesn't want to hear it. I don't know what it is. It's definitely a spirit of hurt.
He has through a lot of rejection and hurt. He like went on a trip in faith, and then he took it as the Lord didn't provide, but I think he went out way too quickly and all of this stuff, and it's been like a year and a half and he still has all of this hurt and rejection from it and feeling like the Lord isn't there for him. And then he was healed of many things, but he still has one allergy to peanuts that wasn't healed, so he has all of this like anger and bitterness towards God, and it keeps coming out in many different ways. It gets brought up. And I was telling him he needs to deal with that, but he doesn't know how to let it go is what he says. So just causing a lot of issues.
Yeah. And like, trying to talk to him about it, just like, it really, nothing comes of it, it just usually makes things worse off. Like, we've tried discussing it with him more than once, separately, too. Like, I reached out to him as a brother, and he just did not want to, like, accept it. You could see, too, when he's being affected by a spirit and when he's being normal, because he'll apologize for the way that he's acting, and then he'll go right back into acting that way. So it's definitely, like, flesh versus spirit kind of deal. So he definitely just needs some prayer, but I'm not exactly sure how to go about helping him right now. I know that the Lord has to open it up to him. It's something that we could say or do that can do that. But still, I just figured asking for the body to pray would be nice.
And also real quick, prayer for my dog. He keeps itching like crazy. He's my old man. He's 15 years old and he's been itching like crazy. And I know that the Lord can heal him.
Amen.
All right, I can start out for Sebastian if somebody else wants to join in. Father, you have a heart here that is hurt. Apparently, I don't think he's spirit-filled yet, Sebastian, so that might be part of the problem. And this hindering spirit of rejection is building a strong wedge between you and him, Lord. And you know that. You can see this. You know what his heart's all about. But only you, Lord, know how to tear this down. Sometimes it's not an easy process to let go of these hurts, this lying demon that keeps on reminding them of things that maybe they need to let go because they know it's not profitable. And they met, and just because he went out in faith to do something at the time, he probably wasn't ready. And he definitely wasn't spirit filled. So he might have not been hearing from you either. So, Lord, some of these things have to be brought into his heart so he can understand things more and realize how you work through people's lives is through patience and through trials. And it helps people grow that way. And then they don't always see an answer right away. So he has a little growing to do and understand how it is you work in people's lives so that we become founded on the rock of the word, and not on our emotions and feelings. So, Lord, we ask that you come in Sebastian's life, help him to start tearing these walls down that he's put around him that are trying to shelter him from being hurt. And allow him to start hearing more truth. Lord, whatever it is that is holding him back, Lord, we want that to be gone in the name of Jesus. So we do command that hindrance spirit to go now. We bind you until he can make a decision for you to come closer to you, start hearing more truth, and allowing this faith to grow in you and not be torn down the way it is now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We also pray for... let's see, for Katie's dog, that Lord, in the name of Jesus, we command the itch to go away. He's a good old dog. He's been a faithful, loving character for Katie's life. Lord, we ask for nothing but deliverance for this dog. He pray for himself, but we can pray for him. We cast that itching out in the name of Jesus, whatever it is that's causing that, to go now. And you are healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Julie.
I'd like to pray too. Father, I lift up Katie and Dominic to you, that you would give them wisdom from above, that you would direct them, help them, lead them in being able to minister to Sebastian, and even being able to openly share their own testimonies of being hurt by others and rejection and being delivered and how we need to forgive everybody, because if we don't forgive everybody, God won't forgive us. And if we're not forgiven, there's a severe penalty of torments and even losing our soul. And Lord, I pray for wisdom and just a lot of grace and love and empathy and just an open door that you are even right now, Lord, working in Sebastian's heart to soften it and the walls he's put up because he's hurting. And this hurting is, it can be a spirit itself when you've been deeply wounded by somebody you trusted, or, you know, somebody who, you know, rejected you, somebody you're really close to, all kinds of reasons. The devil doesn't need much of an opening, but he preys on our emotions and the things that really, really, you know, get to us and stuff. So Lord, I just pray that you work in his heart, and we just look forward to the good testimony, Lord, the good report of deliverance and healing. And we come against the spirits of unforgiveness, of bitterness and resentment and unfairness and unworthiness and pride and all the things that get in the way of us seeing clearly. And Lord, we trust that you will reveal yourself to him in a way that he can know that he really needs you. And whatever fear of rejection from you, Lord, that he's facing, we cast that down as well in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we just ask too that you put it on his heart just to pick up the Bible and start reading it. Just start reading your word, Lord. Get his word down in your heart. Thank you, Father. And I guess, you know, Tracy did say that Catherine is doing the deliverance. So, Father, this deliverance that Catherine is going through for somebody, Lord, we ask you to give her wisdom and discernment of whatever it is she's trying to achieve here. That at the same time, Lord, the person that she's giving deliverance to, we ask that she be receptive and receive the word from you, and that she also agrees with Catherine on this, that this, whatever it is that has to go in the name of Jesus. They're both in agreement, and it will happen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I just wanted to, had a prayer request. I was just thinking of that earthquake that happened in California a few days ago.
Do we know exactly what location that was in? Do you know anything about that, Julie? No? Okay.
There's earthquakes out here every day.
Yeah, it was just 2 miles outside of San Ramon. That's where my cousin lives. And that's why Nick picked up on it, because my cousin felt the earthquake. So it was like a 3.9 on the Richter scale. And I don't know if there's any damage. I didn't read anything about it.
No, she said there's not. There wasn't. Okay. Her
well, we can thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these people safety during this time. We know that it's going to possibly get worse over time. And if that's going to be the case, Lord, why don't you move your people out to safety when that happens? In the same time, we're praising you for what you're doing for these people and allowing nobody to be hurt, and no damages to be done, and no lives disrupted from all this quaking that's going on right now in California. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How's everybody else doing? What else we got to pray about? Go ahead, George. George, you get your hand up. Can you say anything? Nothing's coming through, unfortunately.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I do. Good deal.
All good. I was, Dominic reminded me of something I read earlier when he was talking about Tennessee Greg. Have to call him that because I can't call him Caring Greg, because all Gregs are caring, obviously. But he was saying he got a difficult word, but it was good. And I was reading in Mark 10:21, where the rich young ruler or whatever, the young man came running to Jesus and kneeled down, and Jesus looked on him, looking upon him, loved him, and told him that he had to go sell all he had. And the guy left sorrowful. And I was just thinking how the reaction we get from people sometimes, you know, it is love to give people a difficult word, something that they need to grow and for eternal life. And we don't always get to see the harvest right in front of us. And then just after that, Jesus was with the disciples and he was telling them what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem and how he was going to be mocked, spit on, scourged, and killed. And then after 3 days rise, and the very next verse is, here come the sons of Zebedee saying, you know, teacher, can you give us preeminence in sitting in the best places or whatever, you know, position? And it just seems like, you know, what a smack in the face that would have been to Jesus to be pouring out this path that he had to walk out, and then it just being like a flesh conversation that's coming right after that. And just, you know, obviously he rolled with it and taught them how they would not rule over, but they would serve, that, you know, people in his kingdom. But I just thought it was kind of insightful that Jesus has been tempted in the same ways that we are, that when we try to minister life, that we don't always get the reaction that we would hope for. And that was just something I was reading earlier, and it kind of dawned on me a little bit. That's it.
Good point, because there's a lot of times we do say things, and the things that come to our mind that we're ministering to others sometimes like that, that aren't always pleasant words, they may not necessarily be coming from us. They're going to be coming from the Holy Spirit speaking through us, and we're not even realizing that's part of the process, because it's pretty seamless sometimes. So sometimes these words we do speak to others that seem kind of direct, or maybe it's flesh-killing words, as light as we try to give it to them, it's what they need, exactly what they need to hear at the time. And we may be somewhat, like you said, George, we may not see the fruit of that right away. And you've also said that too, Dominic. You're not really thinking you're seeing the fruit. So you're kind of thinking, why doesn't this guy, you know, come along? Why are they resisting this? Well, sometimes that stuff has to set with them for a little bit of time. I mean, even I think we've all had that experience in our life, especially our Christian growth, where people have shared things with us. And, you know, it took us a while to kind of chew on that and figure this out and let it work in our life before it started to manifest the fruit that it needed, that God wanted to produce in us. And that's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be instantaneous. It's we all have to sit there and let the Lord say things to us, and we all have to have that time where it has that ability to grow and take life. It doesn't necessarily happen all at once, and that's fine. I mean, it's a process. So thank you, Lord, for being faithful to us and allowing us to hear your words, and Lord, in giving us the fruit in its due season. We praise you for that when it does happen, and allowing us to be the ones maybe to share that with others when you put that in our mouth and in our thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Greg.
Hang on, I'll put my hand down. Okay, I also wanted to pray about something that's happening here in Australia. Look, in each state, we have had various forms of what are they called, declarations of, you know, emergency, so that various individuals can operate and dominate and stuff like that. nowhere has it been worse in Australia, in my opinion, those some places that come very, very close, than in the state of Victoria, where Melbourne is the capital city. Now, sorry, this is by way of background. Victoria has, the parliament there has extended the state of emergency with a deadline of early in December, maybe the 15th. So there's really not much they could do. However, the premier of the state, who is often referred to as Dictator Dan, and I'll tell you what, it comes pretty darn close, has proposed legislation that would give him or the person in his chair blanket powers to shut down, lockdown, mandate, on the whiff of a pandemic. You know, it could be something happening in, you know, a little island in the middle of the Indian Ocean somewhere, and he said, oh, we could get here, and he could then, you know, enact it. It's very, you know, to describe it as draconian is an understatement by a huge margin. At this point of time, the legislation was supposed to have been dealt with by now, but the debate has been extended because a few people stepped in. And there's been, I'm told, there's been people camping out of the Parliament House, and there's been up to 100,000 people up and down the street there, you know, protesting at some time, which is not really making a whole lot of mainstream media news as far as I'm aware. But, and I'm, you know, I'm sometimes I'm at odds at what to pray about this. I mean, I want to cast this legislation down because if it gets in there, they'll spread it out. I mean, I know in my state, we have this guy here wants to, you know, be a dictator here as well. So anyway, but I, you know, I also look, I'm, you know, the Lord has his purposes and everything, and no one is above or beyond his reach, his influence, or whatever else. So I'm going to pray as best I can with that. Lord, please intercede for this. I pray certainly for the people of Victoria. And the stuff that they're going through, you know, it's not, they're not on their own, Lord, but it's been pretty hard there. And the rest of us. Lord, these men and women who have these positions are doing things that are, in, to my mind, just evil. And our human hearts want to destroy them or want to bring them down. And Lord, that is not necessarily your heart for them. But Lord, you call us to love our neighbour as ourselves, and I don't believe that you don't apply that principle to yourself as well. Oh, Lord, I just want to ask that your hand would move in Victoria and the rest of this country, that, that those in authority who are doing things would recognise your finger drawing a line in the sand and saying no further. Lord, and I also want to ask more than that, and I don't have any idea how or if, what, you know, how this could happen, but you can work this, that these people, that we would turn to the name of the Lord, because that is really our only out in what's going on. Lord, I just want to say, I know we're a godless nation. And I know we're not alone in that, but, you know, I've just confessed that on our nation's behalf or our nation's behalves. But I ask that you would move in the hearts of people, to have people turn to you and your name. And there's not any other scheme or whatever that will be our rescue. That'll do.
I'd like to welcome our new guest. It's UBM Outreach there. Michael.
Lowercase.
Hey, yeah.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
How y'all doing?
All right. We're even recording.
You're recording. Okay, good. I thought about that actually just a while ago. I said, well, shoot, I don't think David knows how to get it up on the server.
Well, it gave me a choice. So that's where I put it.
Okay.
All right.
I'll back off and listen to you.
Well, glad to see you here. Thank you, Father. Thank you for coming on, Michael. Oh, let's see. Go ahead, Nick. We'll get you real quick.
Yeah, I actually listen to the Holy Bible on my phone, and I get a verse every day, and I found one that really touched me, and it was like 1 John 4:7 from the ESV. And I just went back into it again and read the whole thing all over again, and it just really, really touched me.
All right, we can look at that real quick.
Read it, please.
You want to read it? Go ahead.
Yeah.
It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God."
Well, praise the Lord. That's very good. Thank you, Lord, for giving that word to Nick. Did you like that? What did you think about that?
I thought it was good.
Well, I think we all do. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Ryan.
I just wanted to add to what Greg was praying for there, and something that probably, Greg, I'd like to discuss with you at one point, but the thing that was that really struck me, and I'm not a history buff at all, right? The history buff is sitting next to me, but there's a striking resemblance between what Hitler did back in his day to what is happening in Victoria, where Hitler was trying to change the constitution and make his own rules, and he couldn't do that. And what he then tried to do, or what he did do then, is bring in what was called the Enabling Act. And it's basically gave him, the powers to write his own rules and then change the constitution, right? So this is almost exactly the same as what's happening. These premiers here have been able to make their own rules through the health directors or whatever, because of a state of emergency. And this act will then allow him to declare emergency. I mean, he could say, like you said, I mean, he could say climate change is an emergency and just have a perpetual emergency running for forever and make his own rules based on that. So, but that's not what I don't want to fearmonger or anything like that. I just thought, there's a difference between it. But in the times of Hitler, if we could go back and we could stop everything that happened, you could stop that Enabling Act from coming in, you probably would stop everything from happening. What happened back then, because he wouldn't have had the powers or popularity to win 2/3 votes or anything like that to be able to change the constitution. But God did not draw the line in the sand back then. And I'm not saying that he's not going to do it now. I'm thinking of, what do we need to pray for? Do we pray, where's our friend William? He's always asking, what do we pray up and what do we pray down, right? Will is always asking that. So I agree with what Greg prayed, and what we should be praying for as well is for people to wake up to, and that's what Andrew put in there, is for them to start to repent and start believing, for God to start getting his elect out of there, because ultimately God put those people in authority there. They have been ordained by him to do what they are doing. They cannot do anything. Like Jesus was standing there next to Pilate saying, you can't do anything except what my Father has said you can do. So yes, we recall him to repentance, like Dan Andrews and then those other guys to repentance for the saving of their soul, right? For them to for God to be gracious and repent and give them that repentance. But we pray that people would start turning towards God, because if this does not happen, there's a risk that everybody there in Victoria and Melbourne might just go back to their old ways of living without God. What needs to happen is revival. What needs to happen is the Holy Spirit come in there and change that place completely. History will repeat over and over and over again. These kind of things are going to happen. These kind of characters are going to come up. But we as the body need to be praying for the elect and for the people that God are calling to come to him. Like what Dominic and Kate is praying for Sebastian is clearly God is calling him towards him, calling him to come out. And we keep our ears open to the ground as foot soldiers in this war to say, ha, where do we see the enemy lying? Where do we see the enemy tricking? Where do we see the enemy trying to oppress people or prevent something from happening? And that's where we fight in the spirit, and we say we can come against that. And then God is the one who changes the heart. He's the one who comes in and changes the hearts. And so we've got to be just very, very aware all the time. If we hear someone saying, oh, I just got the vaccine, that is the Lord telling you, pray, fight this in the spirit. If we hear someone saying, you know, I'm a Muslim, and you meet them at work, yeah, that's the Lord saying, look, I put you there to pray. I put you there to be a vessel of honor. So I felt the Lord put it heavy on my heart with what's happening in Australia. And we see little examples of that just here in our little town and at the mine, all these little decisions that's being made that are seemingly very harmless, but if you can see the spirit behind it, you know that there's a communistic or a socialistic kind of spirit behind it, and people is completely blind to what's going on. And all that does, it helps. It's the enemy trying to keep people from seeing the truth, but the truth of the word. So it's coming back to reading the word and reading the Bible. So Lord, I add on to what Greg was saying, Lord, sometimes in my flesh, I don't understand how people can still be in that state or even in that city. But Lord, we know that it's because they have not seen the truth yet. Father, I pray that you would, through what is happening now, that people would start to open up their eyes to you and start turning towards you and start falling on their knees. Because on our knees is where the shaking does not affect us at all. So I thank you, Lord, for everything that you are working together for good for those who love you. I ask you, Lord, to use your special gift that you have, which is to change hearts and change millions of hearts in short periods of time through your Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to do that for the state of Victoria, for every one of the states that any of us are living in. And open up people's eyes to the truth of your word. And bring these premiers to repentance, Lord. Not that you don't need to stop what you are planning. Your plans are good, and your plans are for the good for all of those who love you, Lord. But for the saving of souls, for the saving of those people, to grant them the opportunity to repent and turn away from their wicked ways. I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I agree with that 100%, because actually I got a message from the Lord about with Esther tonight. That was Esther 5:6. And the king said to Esther at the banquet of wine, what is your petition? And it shall be granted you. What is your request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be performed. So that's our job as the bride. That's our job, is to start petitioning the Lord on all these matters, especially for the body of Christ, because that's what she did. She actually ended up petitioning the king as far as her request is for first to take out Haman, and then also was for the rest of the body of Christ to stand up, protect themselves. We give them that authority to do that in the name of Jesus. So it's our job is to get the body of Christ ready to prepare for this end time battle, to stand up, protect themselves, you know, to put on that spiritual warfare fight, because we have our Haman in front of us now, who wants to take us out. Amen. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I think now's a perfect time for Psalm 2 to kick in, and all these evil minions that are plotting, I believe it's time for us to join and hear the Father laughing, he who sits in the heavens, laughing at their plans, because his next move is to release his wrath on them and vex them in his sore displeasure. And I'm looking at where it says that, ask of me and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance. We get an inheritance when someone dies. And I'm seeing that Jesus died so that we can continue his ministry and life, to ask for the nations for his inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. It's time to occupy and possess what is his, and warn those kings to kiss the Son lest he be angry and they perish in the way, for his wrath will soon be kindled. I think of the two witnesses on the streets all over the earth that are going to be bringing judgment. And I was also reminded that Australia is the great south land of the Holy Spirit, and that's no accident. And I also pray for God to release the new zeal for New Zealand, that they'd have a zeal for the Lord, and that the places where Andrew Murray planted his seeds of truth in South Africa, and Dr. Livingstone, or Livingston, I pray for the living stones in Africa to go ahead and bear fruit and finish their mission, that all of these places are going to have a great outpouring, and maybe they'll send missionaries back to North America so that the first would be last and the last would be first, and we'll get our outpouring as well. I'm sure it's going to come with some straightening and some John the Baptist type ministries first, because we've certainly got some low places that need to be raised up, and some crooked paths that have got to be straightened. So Father, I thank you for your word that gives us hope. I thank you that we can get peace when we see you laughing at the plans of these evil ones. So Father, help us join in your final plans for these end times, to see your harvest and to join in with you to warn those who can be warned, and to tell that truth, Father, to be your instruments. So Father, we step into the roles that you've carved out for us. We accept our assignments in Jesus' name. We do not look at ourselves as small, because we know that greater are they that are with us than they that are with the enemy. So Father, let us see the power and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Let us walk in that joy in these dark times, and let your grace much more abound. Thank you, Lord, for your word that builds us up. We praise you, Father, and we thank you that you've included us in this time. You've, like Esther, you've had us to be born for such a time as this. We are well able to take the land, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was just listening to everybody, and the kind of the train of the thought it brought my mind back to this scripture. I just liked it. It was a kind of the thought that the Lord provides this environment, the environment that we're in right now, that he's raised it up to create a, to expose or bring, shall we say, to expose the darkness so that the light will be easily seen. It'll be easier to see the dark from the light. And I had a friend one time that used to, when he was in college, he used to go, they called it spelunking, I think is what it was, but it was, they would go exploring caves, I guess in Missouri or someplace where he was from. There's all kind of, there's lands there where there's underground caverns or a lot of caves and that sort of thing. And they would go in these caves and they take a little, you know, a lantern on their head, and they, you know, turn it down really low, because when you get into the darkness of those caves where there is absolutely zero light, just a little bit of a glimmer illuminates the whole place and you can see where you're going. But, and it was just, and of course it's such a little bit of light. It's probably the same amount of light that's on my watch there would simply illuminate the whole place. And so I think this, the thing that I'm seeing is that when society is in good times, obviously we all like to be in good times. We all like to, you know, have everything just comfortable and, you know, everything, our future's looking good and we have nice friends and nice job and we don't have any, you know, everybody likes living in that sort of situation. And I think, I don't know about the rest of the world, but in America, people get lost in the prosperity, I guess you might say, and their whole focus is a whole nother thing. And it's very hard to make a dent in that type of mentality. And so I think, and I think it's proven out throughout the scripture that, you know, when times are great, people, no opposition, people went along under, you know, led their own life, did their own thing, and society generally deteriorated until God had to bring a correction into it. So, but I'm thinking that what is happening now in the darkness is it's become a society and people are starting to be able to see the darkness, see the evil intentions that are possibly behind some of these actions. And a lot of people are their eyes are being opened to where we are at. And so I think in my mind, this scripture really comes to light. And what everybody else is saying here about, you know, looking towards what God is doing for revival is that Rian mentioned something that, you know, you can change a leader's heart. I mean, God can change a leader's heart. But unless the people below that leader support that change and support that thing, that leader at some point is going to be so opposed in what he may or may not want to be able to do, that if that society is moving in an evil direction, that leader will not be supported and his direction will die out when he dies. And matter of fact, many leaders have found that that their life dies out a little quicker than that would normally. So anyway, I'm brought back to the scripture when Solomon dedicated the temple. Of course, everybody knows the scripture. Everybody in Christianity calls it the revival scripture, but it comes back to some solid points that I'd just like to mention for consideration. It said that, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I've heard thy prayer. And then the Lord said, I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And of course, you tend to think that what the Lord is talking about there is that Solomon obviously just dedicated the temple and established prayer towards the temple and all the things that happened in that process. But I just found it striking that when the Lord came to Solomon, he said, I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And then he describes that place, and that place looks like this. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. And so God clearly throws the responsibility for revival, changing of the mindset of the culture, that whole thing. He throws it right into the lap of his people. And it gives us something very simple to do. Humble ourselves and pray and seek him and turn from our wicked, whatever he shows us is wrong, turn from it. And then he will hear from heaven. And then he will forgive our sin. And then he will heal our land. So I think there's, I'm just struck by that concept. It actually wasn't what I was wanting to say tonight, but I think the flow of the Spirit tonight is revival, is responding to this present evil age that is happening and knowing that we have a place in it. So Father, I thank you for the authority that you've given us as believers, as your people, as your children, as your sons and daughters before you, Lord. We thank you for your grace that you give us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given us to empower us and to guide us out of darkness and into truth. And Lord, we just ask that you would grant us grace to do exactly that, humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from anything that you show us. And Lord, we thank you that your promise is that you will heal, you will hear from heaven, and you will heal our land. And Lord, we certainly do not deserve a country that has murdered 60 or 70 million children in the womb, certainly does not deserve your grace. But Lord, we are asking for it, and we are trusting you for it, for you promised it in your word. Lord, we look to you to perform your part of the bargain, your part of your word, and we will look towards performing our part of your word. And we ask you for the grace and the wisdom and the encouragement and the strength and the life to do exactly that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. No, it's very true. Without the pressure, people don't repent. And that's what he's calling us to get our attention. Go ahead, Katie and Dominic.
I just wanted to say real quick that I thought it was really cool how you brought up Esther, because me and Katie were talking and we were trying to be more accountable about reading. So I said, well, let's just start reading together, you know. I said, like, what do you think we should read? And she said, I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to read Esther. So I was cooking at the time, but I was listening to it, and the Lord was just opening so much. I was like, Haman's the son of perdition in this. I was like, but I never listened to any of David's teachings on Esther either. So I was like, really, it was like trying to soak it in. I'm like, okay, so obviously Mordecai is like the man child in that, you know, and I was like, really like trying to soak it in and like understand what, like what the Lord was saying in all of it. And I just like, I thought it was like, it was so beautiful because like, obviously the son of perdition, like Haman built the gallows, or I think it was a gallows for Mordecai, but it ended up being the death of him. And I was just thinking about like how it's the same with Satan. Like Satan thought he did good by putting Jesus up on the cross, but then it ended up being his biggest mistake in all of that, because it gave us back that power, you know. And he's like, oh no, you know. And the same thing happened with that. And I didn't really put, I was like, but I don't know who Esther is. So like, but I've been getting that opened up to that it was the bride and all that. So I thought it was like awesome. And it just keeps getting brought up. So I just think it's really cool how you brought it up too. It's like just more confirmation on things. So yeah. I just wanted to just add that really quick.
Now, praise the Lord. That's how he works in people's lives. He pulls people together. They see the similar verses, and then you have the direction of what we're going to talk about and what his thoughts are and where we're supposed to be taking our mind and understanding what's going on in our lives right now. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Thank you for that confirmation. But I'm pretty sure that's what the Lord was doing. That's what we're doing here. Go ahead there, Isaac.
All right. Yeah, that was awesome. Dominique, Katie. So Rion was talking about, you know, about the leaders are there placed in that position. And, you know, that's true. And then Pat was saying, went on to talk about that and, you know, said a lot what I was going to say. And, but I want to add to that too, because I feel like I found a link with the, there's obviously, let me put it this way, there's obviously principalities and darkness working in the world, you know, on people's minds. And it starts with the leaders and it gets in the people. Because something I learned that makes a lot of sense to me, whatever gets in the head gets in the body, right? And that happens with leaders too. So, I want to read something that I think is going on here. And so I'm going to read this, but I'm going to probably end this with a question. So bear with me. I'm trying to find my way to do that. But it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, and you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein ye once walked according to the course. Now, if you look at the word course, if you look at your footnote there, at least my Bible says age. So if you read it again, wherein you walk according to the age of this world. And history repeats. But in every age, there's always some, I won't say new, because there is no new thing under the sun. But there are these trends and ideology that take grasp on people's minds, right? And you see it in working in the sons of disobedience. So anyways, being that that's noted in this age, so I'll read it again. Wherein you once walked according to this course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Okay, so the thing is, you know,
I think there might be, and I'm not sure. So I guess that's where my question comes. But in Luke 4, Jesus goes on to talk about verse 25, where he is, I think he's talking to the Pharisees here, but he says, Luke 4, 25, but of a truth I say unto you, there are many but of the truth I say unto you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and they came out of great famine all over the land. And unto none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zaphath in the land of Sidon, and to a woman that was a widow. And it also goes on to say that there were many lepers too in that time. And I'm thinking that, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, is there a link between the principalities of the air? And I do believe there's a link between the principalities in the air and the veil that's over the people's faces, right? That you read. I don't know exactly where the scripture is at, but I think you know where, you know, Paul's talking about there still remaineth a veil over people's faces, not knowing that the law's been done away in Christ, right? So I'm wondering if there's also the principalities also work to keep the heavens shut. Now we have open heaven, we walk under open heaven, but is there a link there? Because I've heard Michael talk about open heaven. I've heard many of you all pray and thank God for open heaven. And when Rion was talking about that, and Pat and everybody else, and we talked about what would be a good topic, I want to understand more. What is an open heaven? If anybody can elaborate more on that, is there a link to the principalities that try to, close this heaven and put the veil over the eyes? So, if anybody could respond to that, I'd appreciate it. We may not even have enough time, honestly, but, I'd just like to know.
I think Pat put the answer in there. That's pretty good.
There's an open heaven to the bride. There's an open heaven to those that are disciples of Jesus Christ and walking in the footsteps of Jesus. There's that open heaven. The thing is, he's trying to get us to take advantage of it right now. And he's calling us to that. And he's calling us to what we're doing right now to get this little sister ready for the end times. And even the bride, not to get fall asleep in these days, not to get the thorns of life entangle you so that you can't fight the battle. So the open heaven is there, and the Lord's there to hear us because he accomplishes his work through us, and he puts it on our hearts, what we pray about, what we're doing. The thing we got to be there is we've got to be constantly searching for what's on the Lord's heart and what it is we're supposed to be praying for. And at the same time, what Rion and Claire have talked about, and Pat's talked about here tonight, what Dominic has kind of talked about, and also what George is, we're watching everything that's going on around us, this evil Haman coming out against the bride. And it's going to be very direct towards us pretty soon. And so our job is to stay on this open heaven and casting things down and try to work it in so that this bride of Christ, this the called out ones, come into this full image of Christ so that they can enter into the kingdom. And that's our job right now with this open heaven. That's what the man-child's going to be doing too, especially getting the bride ready, giving her the word of God he needs to hear, and then the rest of the body will go out and send out to do the same thing. But during that time, these prayers, if you notice, Jesus was always praying. He was always praying to the Father because he had that open heaven. He had to stay connected with the Lord, with his Father, in order to accomplish his will. That's what we have to do too. That's this open heaven we got, is staying connected with our Father, staying connected with Jesus. And Michael has been very good about telling us about prayer, and we covered prayer and making sure we're being mindful to keep this open heaven prayer going all the time. And that's part of the job of the bride. And that's what she does in Esther. She's interceding to the king. So that's the open heaven we have. I don't know if I answered that. Somebody else has something else you want to say too. Go ahead. I think you still have your hand up, Isaac. Did you want to say something more?
Yeah, just one thing I forgot to mention. And thank you for that, David. That made a lot of sense. Yeah, I just wanted to mention too, when I was reading this Luke 4, where he goes on to talk about how there was many widows and lepers, I forgot to mention this. I got to thinking or talking too fast for what I was thinking. Anyways, you know, the Lord showed me something about leprosy. You know, there's also such thing as spiritual leprosy too, because, you know, leprosy was an affliction of the flesh, right? And I know this, I can speak on my behalf, because back in the past, you know, I was afflicted in the flesh spiritually. And I was always trying to, didn't seem that I couldn't overcome. It was grace. It was the grace of the Lord. And it really was. And so and it seems like this day and age, with the mindsets that with the principalities that work and the mindsets of the people, you really see there is a spiritual leprosy out there, out in the world. So I wanted to add that. I forgot. But then again, thank you, David. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate everything.
Julie, you had your hand up for a brief minute. Did you want to say something?
Isn't it the Lord that removes the veil so that people are able to see? I mean, you know, we were all in the world and in the apostate system, but there was a time when the Lord started removing things so we could see, and, you know, he put it in us to seek him. And I'm trying to think what that scripture is. I think it's in Hebrews or Romans or one of those letters from Paul, where he was quoting from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, about, I think it's Isaiah 6, where, you know, these are just stiff-necked people and they won't repent, and they won't, because their pride gets in the way, and it's like they won't, you know, this has, you know, the veil's removed from those who are really seeking the Lord. That's just my thoughts, where it's like the Lord is the one that reveals ultimately the veil so people can see and come in behind the veil, you know, and see that it's a spiritual thing, it's not the letter. I might be wrong, but that was just my thoughts.
I think one of the other things we got to keep in mind too is when we see what Isaac was bringing up, and I think that was what in Luke 4, about during that time, 3 years and 6 months, when Elijah was in the land, and there was many widows, but only Zephrapheth, however that's pronounced, of Sidon was a woman of the widow that he stayed with, and she prospered when she was with him and provided for her. And they said there was many lepers in Israel at the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian, which was another Gentile. When Jesus went out and just called his disciples to him, he called them out by name, and he chose. Those were his disciples. And then he taught them. He didn't teach all of Israel. He didn't call everybody in. He chose who he was going to be in the bride. That was the bride back then. He's doing the same thing today. He's choosing who's our elect, who's going to hear his word, and others he's given parables. Now, we're going to see a great awakening happening, but initially it's going to be for the bride that's going to be woken up, and then the rest will come and follow, because that's what the disciples went on afterwards when Jesus left and brought in the message of the kingdom to the rest of the Jews again. That was her, and the rest of the nations. But first it's going to be the bride. And then that's, you know, after that, you'll see the Great Commission go out from that. So we have to understand that too, what Jesus is giving for an example. Anyway, so we're at a close here. We're almost 9:58. So if anybody wants to let them, I've been talking a lot, but does anybody want to have anything to pray about before we leave? And if not, I might have George close us out in prayer if he's still here. No, nothing. George, can you go ahead.
I'll try.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you loved us and called us and you're equipping us. We thank you that by the blood of Jesus, we can boldly come before you. And Father, we thank you for once again, just continuing to knit our hearts together to make us those living stones, firmly fitted together, supplying all need to one another. And our hearts and our empathy and everything, Lord, is so connected. We definitely rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. And Father, we thank you for making us closer than blood family, that you've made us into your family and you're raising us up and growing us up to be sons of God. So Father, continue your work in us. May we yield to the potter's hand always. And if you need to accelerate in our lives, let everything of this world fall away as we hear and do only what we speak and do only what we hear you say and see you do and live large through us. May Jesus get all the glory. Father, make every day count. Don't let us lose a moment. Let us run the race. Let us gain the prizes, Father, for your glory. We love you so much, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit every day. Again, Lord, we yield to you. We love you, and we trust you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Let me stop this recording.